The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're about to experience a morning show unlike any other.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club. I hope to see you on air tomorrow.
What you guys are doing right now is the hub culture.
The Breakfast Club is my morning sit. I need it and I love it so much.
I feel like you're really not popping until you do the Breakfast Club.
I've been waiting to come to y'all's show, man. I know you got to be a big time celebrity to be up in here. You got to be big time.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Break the fuck up.
Good morning, USA.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
See, I started over for a good reason. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning.
What's happening? How y'all feeling, man? How was your holiday weekend?
My holiday weekend was going well until Michael K. Williams passed away.
Yeah, man. God bless. God bless the dead.
Sending, that one hurts.
Sending healing energy to Michael K. Williams and the family of Michael K. Williams. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm out in Florida. I'm out here for my birthday weekend. I was doing a bunch of shows and planning out Coachella, Miami. So I've been out here making sure everything is right, getting everything situated for the car show. So I'm here. I'll be back tomorrow. But yeah, okay. Very sad, man. Very, very sad. Upsetting news.
Yeah,
I got yesterday.
I spent the whole day home yesterday. I went to National Harbor, Maryland over the weekend for the Celebre and Rosé event. It was a beautiful outdoor event. Everybody had on pink. It was a really, really nice event. DJ Jazzy Jeff was there. Estelle, BJ the Chicago Kid. It was beautiful. It was a nice day out. And yeah, then I came home. I had to get a new roof after the remnants of Hurricane Ida hit New York City. Then my roof was all messed up. I had all these leaks. So I was home yesterday and today getting this new roof put in.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a question. I know a bunch of people I've been reaching out to that's actually been reaching out to me. They said that their house got flooded on the East Coast, but a lot of them, you know, didn't have flood insurance. Like, this has never happened in, you know, in I don't even know how long. So a lot of people don't have flood insurance. So the fact that their house got flooded, they lose everything. Insurance doesn't cover anything at all, which is wild.
Right? New York City, that was the first time they ever issued a flash flood warning. So that makes sense.
Yeah, but, my parents, their basement got flooded. They got 3 feet of water and they don't have flood insurance.
Yeah, that's crazy because like you said, it's the first time ever that I can remember. So people who don't have flood insurance, unless you live in a flood zone, if you got flooded out, you got to pay for all that. A lot of people lost whatever was in their basement. So a lot of people have their washer, dryers, or their little man caves, or, you know, people live in the basement and they lost everything. A lot of people lost everything, which is crazy. And insurance companies should... I guess insurance companies ain't gonna do it, but the government should do something. There's a lot of people that lost everything.
No, they lost everything but their life.
You're right.
You know?
And
in situations like that, that's how you gotta look at it. Because we started off the show sending condolences to somebody passed away, who's no longer here. So if you're breathing, you still got a chance this morning.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about Michael K. Williams to start the show off. He was found dead in his apartment in New York City, and we'll give you some of those details and also remember him for the amazing person that he was.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. All right, Yee, where we starting?
Well, this was devastating. Michael K. Williams was discovered face down and unresponsive in the dining room of his apartment in Williamsburg. They said there appeared to be heroin on the kitchen table, but that's not confirmed. So what happened was he was supposed to show up to an event on Saturday. He never made it, according to sources. A relative then went to his home on Monday and someone called the cops to his address. They said there was a man who was unresponsive and feels cold. Now, he had openly talked about his past struggles with drugs and he was pronounced dead at 2:12 p.m. yesterday. It said it appears that he had fatally OD'd. It was unclear how long he had been there. They said there was no foul play indicated, no forced entry. The apartment was in order. His longtime rep confirmed his passing in a statement. He said it is with deep sorrow that the family announces the passing of Emmy-nominated actor Michael K. Williams. They ask for your privacy while grieving this unsurmountable loss.
So sad.
Yeah, and you know, he was very active in the community as well, not just as far as being an amazing actor. He also was an activist. He's from Brooklyn. And even just during this pandemic, we went to a dinner. He did this social justice dinner with young people who are impacted by the system, formerly incarcerated people, very high-ranking police officers, all of those things he did to cover topics like pay inequity, employment opportunities for Black and brown women, and how that impacts public safety. Those things were super important to him as well. So I just want to say, I've been seeing all those pictures that people have been posting, and you can see he's touched so many people's lives by the way that they've posted about him, spoken about, and how many people know him personally and have worked with him, both on and off camera.
Yeah, sending condolences to that brother, Michael K. Williams, and his family, man. You just never know what people are going through. That's why I be sending folks healing energy, because you never know who needs it.
Right.
And we are going to get a past interview on with Michael K. Williams this morning for you guys. All right. And today also, yesterday, expanded unemployment benefits that have kept millions of Americans afloat during this pandemic have expired.
Lord have mercy.
So there was an abrupt cutoff of assistance to 7.5 million people, as this Delta variant is still rattling this pandemic recovery. So the end of the aid came without objection from Biden and his top economic advisors. It's been a fight. Some people feel like it's time to end these benefits and let's get back to work and let's have some recovery. And other people feel like we're too vulnerable right now and people are facing foreclosure and not able to eat right now. So what do you do?
It's a thin line right now, because they were telling me that a lot of companies like Starbucks, a lot of them can't open up, not because they don't want to, but because they don't have the employees. And they said a lot of businesses people won't go back to work. So, but then there's a lot of people that can't go back to work, or scared to go back to work, or, you know, they make more money on unemployment. So I know it's a very thin line of when people should go back to work and when they don't want to.
Hey, man, Screech is about to get nuts. All right, this is precious season. Last few months of the year, we going into the holiday season. Folks going to want to do things, you know, for themselves and their families. Like, it's going to be, this is precious season. Screech going to be crazy.
And there's a new COVID variant now, the Moo variant, that has been found in all states except for Nebraska.
Moo like cows?
M-U. They said it's even more transmissible than Delta. And it also has the potential to resist the vaccines. So, yet another variant.
So what do you do in a situation like that? If people are saying it's because I read that too, it's resistant to the vaccine, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they're saying getting vaccinated and other protections are important. It actually breaks the chain.
The vaccine.
They said those are the actions that actually break the chain of transmission, because that transmission is what limits COVID-19. And that's what doesn't allow the virus to mutate into something that could be more dangerous. In other words, if more people would have been vaccinated, then you stop with all these mutations.
No doubt. But we're here now. So when you have a mutation that can break through the vaccine, what do you tell people?
Charlamagne, they don't know.
That's all I want to know.
I don't know if you figured it out. Like, they don't know.
I know.
They'll say booster shot 3, then they'll say booster 4, 5, 6. They don't know. It's like playing a game of Russian roulette. You just wear your mask and pray.
And kids are back in school, so that's even more worrisome. All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Sana from Brooklyn.
Hey, good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
I was just listening about how you guys said the unemployment benefits abruptly ended. I do not think there's nothing abrupt about that. There are jobs everywhere, and I think it's kind of ridiculous that they've gone on this long. People need to get back to work. Like, I had to work the whole entire pandemic. And I know people that purposely quit their jobs to get on unemployment. I know people that have not worked in almost 2 years that are going on vacations, buying new cars off of unemployment.
You're right.
So enough is enough.
Yeah, like,
there are more than enough jobs out here. People do not want to work.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard a lot of business owners say that. Like, a lot of my people who, you know, own, like, franchises, they've said that. Like, they can't even get employees to get to work because everybody collecting unemployment. I've heard that.
Yes.
Well,
I picked up a second job, and the job that I work at my second job, they cannot get employees. I feel so bad because I don't want to work there no more, but they really have no employees. People won't even come in for interviews. They won't pick up the phone for callbacks. They quit purposely to get unemployment. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't think there's nothing abrupt about it. You can't just keep on letting people stay home and collect all this money.
All right.
Well, we are hiring a private label in Detroit if anybody has experience and wants to come work at the store. And we're hiring at the coffee shop here in Brooklyn. So just putting that out there.
All right. Hello. Who's this?
It's Trey, man, from Atlanta.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Man, just want to talk about this new variant, this new variant, and how we continue to spread, get the vaccine. This is against the vaccine. So why are we still telling people to get the vaccine, and now we got a variant that's against the vaccine?
It's not a lot of cases, by the way. It's only like a few hundred in the states that it's identified in, but it's still the vaccine does protect you against the Delta variant, which is the dominant one right now. And kids are going back to school, and kids under 12 can't get vaccinated. So you want to try to protect whoever you can.
I get what you're saying. I live in Florida, and my daughter goes to school without a mask, and no kids in her school have gotten COVID. You know, like it's potato, potato. But we insist on pushing this vaccine on people. Do you know that it got RDA in it? That affects your DNA. It's just so many variables to this vaccination. I feel like we're being guinea pigs.
What the hell is RDA?
What's RDA? RDA is something that your body naturally produces. It sends signals to your DNA, and it tells your DNA how to react to things.
They said that vaccines do not affect or interact with our DNA in any way. That is a false.
The FDA also approves cigarettes.
That's not true, though.
Oh my God!
I can't.
You're coming up with every excuse.
I've looked that one up. That's not true, sir. The FDA does not approve the use of cigarettes.
They also approve cow meat, which also give black men cancer. Do your research.
Yeah, the FDA doesn't approve the use of tobacco, brother. That's a fact.
All right. Well, get it off your chest. 800-585. It's up right now. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Damn. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Queen.
Come on and get it off your chest, mama.
I just want to say to the men and women out here to stop playing with people's emotions.
Oh, boy.
Because not everybody can handle it, and you're going to get yourself hurt out here.
Oh.
What happened, mama?
Who hit the bottom?
I dealt with a dude for 6 years. He followed me from Alabama here to Virginia and just was cheating. And, you know, I was one of the ones, like, maybe he done been hurt. Let me, you know, stick it out. And I just sent him back home last month. And he hit me up today like, yeah, I'm trying to work it out with somebody. And I told him, please do this new girl right, because you never know. I can handle it emotionally, but you never know if somebody else can. And I feel like he's going to get hurt if he don't get himself together.
It don't sound like you can handle it emotionally. It sounds like he put one hand on back, one hand on frontal, and turned you out.
Well, if he was closer, it might have been. I just sent him home, but... I'm getting through it. I'm not saying that it ain't hard, but somebody else would have rolled up on me.
Now, I feel what you're saying. He put that one. He put one hand on your back, one hand on.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, it's Tasha from Brooklyn.
Hey, Tasha from Brooklyn, get it off your chest.
Happy belated birthday, DJ FC.
Thank you so much, Mama. Thank you.
My birthday's Friday. Virgo Nation.
Virgos.
Congratulations for making it into another year.
Oh, thank God. Yes, thank God. I'm 42 years old. I am not embarrassed.
Why should you be?
I don't know. People don't be liking to say their age. I don't get it.
They damn fools. Those are very insecure people, because the truth
listen,
to them...
Listen, there's a lot of kids ain't making it to
that's
make
right.
mistakes.
Absolutely. That's right.
It's a blessing.
That's right.
I made my mistakes. I'm getting on. I'm making good moves now.
That's right.
I also had a question. I have a 3-year-old. I'm going to keep home again this year because I don't know. This variant is crazy. And I would like to know if there's some legit work-at-home things that I could look into.
Man, that's crazy. I was riding into work this morning, and I wasn't listening to nothing just because I wanted to think. And I was literally thinking the same thing about my two youngest. I'm like, maybe I should homeschool the 5-year-old and the 2-year-old. I literally was thinking the same thing this morning. I was going to talk to my wife about that.
Just make sure you do it, because I know 3 years old is it pre-K? Not really. Pre-K is 4.
Pre-K
right?
is 4.
Yeah, pre-K
yeah,
is 4.
They're doing a 3-K now where they it's like pre-K or Head
yep.
Start or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just make sure whatever you do, you really do it, because I left one of my kids I took out during kindergarten 2 years ago, and it was really difficult when he went back to school because they learn so much now in pre-K and kindergarten. Usually they would learn that much in first grade, secondary, but they're learning everything earlier. So we had to get tutors and everything to make sure he was right. But it's very difficult when you pull your kids out. You have to make sure you continue to teach them, because it gets easy because they're home, but you just got to put that dedication in.
Right. They're doing that all day long. It's not a couple of hours daycare and school and things like that. They're doing it all day long. So I was wondering if there was things, you know, to look into.
Yeah, there are apps and websites that can actually help you find remote jobs that you can look for. I know there's Flex Jobs, and they have WeWorkRemotely.com. But they have a lot of opportunities for people to work from home. Right now, if you do a search for it, there's a lot of different websites, a lot of apps that will help you find some work from home jobs.
I thought you were talking about for kids, but you should definitely do the ABCs and 1-2-3s in addition.
Oh, I thought she said she wanted to work from home also.
Okay, thank you so much. No, I do. I'm definitely not home. I'm doing a little DoorDash, Uber, so I want to be home, though. I don't want to be doing it.
All right, Mama. Well, thank you for checking in, and good luck. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, and let's talk about Naomi Osaka and the U.S. Open. She said you may not see her for a while.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Naomi Osaka says she may take another break from tennis. She did lose in the U.S. Open. It was a close, upset loss. And she told reporters that she's taking an indefinite break. Here's what she said.
I honestly don't know when I'm going to play my next tennis match. I think I'm going to take a break from playing for a while. When I win, I don't feel happy. I feel more like a relief. And then when I lose, I feel very sad. And I don't think that's normal.
I respect
it. She had written on Twitter that she was working to be more positive. And she also talked about her struggles with self-esteem. She said she would try to celebrate herself and her accomplishments more.
I respect
I didn't see her documentary, but I heard a documentary on Netflix breaks down all of this and the reason she feels this way and why, you know, when she wins, she doesn't feel happy. When she loses, she feels sad. And it talks about everything, why she represents Japan when she plays tennis. I heard the documentary is really good. I haven't seen it, but it said it really gives you an insight of her life and how why she would be feeling all these
things.
Well,
she probably don't know why she feels that way. And that's why I'm glad that humans on this planet are realizing when enough is enough. So, you know, you can take a step back and try to figure it out. When folks are overwhelmed mentally or emotionally, take a step back if you can and, you know, figure out what your issues are. I don't see the problem.
Right. And I mean, I think as far as her representing Japan, she was born in Japan. So you know, that's, I'm sure that's why.
No, right, there's a lot of other reasons, because her dad is Haitian. Her dad got her. It's a reason of why she played for Japan, not just because she was born there. It's a whole long thing if you watch the documentary.
Yeah, but why is it like a big debate? She was born in Japan.
I didn't say it was a big debate. I just explained her documentary. I didn't say it's a debate at all. I'm just telling you about her documentary.
I remember people were so mad about it. I'm like, why? What's the big deal?
Well, she can represent what country she wants.
Yeah, it was a huge deal. Mm. All right, now, Cardi B has given birth to her second child, so congratulations to Cardi and Offset.
Hey.
Nice.
Dropping the clues bomb for Bardi and Offset. Yes, congratulations
to them. They said, we are so overjoyed to finally meet our son. He is already loved so much by our family and friends, and we can't wait to introduce him to his other siblings.
Did they name him Culture, too? What did they name him?
Oh, I don't know.
That would be dope.
But he did post chapter 5. He did post chapter 5 when he posted the picture of the baby. And guess who else is expecting? Kodak Black is expecting a baby girl. So that'll be his second child. And his girlfriend is Miranda Johnson. They met about 4 years ago. They decided they wanted to have a child together. His girlfriend is the realtor, Miranda Johnson. And that is their first child together. So they conceived in April. The child is due late this year or early next year.
Is that
so
the one?
Congratulations to them.
Is that the young lady who had Kodak blushing up here when he was up here that time?
That was a long time ago, no.
You sure? Okay.
Remember, he was engaged since then. And he's, you know, a lot has gone on.
Mm.
All right, now, Kodak Black also had some controversy. And that's because he was donating air conditioners. And these AC units, he personally delivered them back in July, but the housing authority in Pompano Beach had some issues. They fired off cease and desist letters, and they accused him of entering the property twice, causing disturbances. They said he caused a disruption by shooting a music video on the property and playing loud music. And they got upset at him for installing air conditioning in the units. So people were like, what is the big deal? Kodak's lawyer, Bradford Cohen, said that he thought it was sad and shameful that the housing authority wished to stop the assistance to the elderly and underprivileged during a heat wave and 2-year pandemic. Well, now a rep for the housing authority has told TMZ that donation was extremely generous and admirable, but there were concerns about AC installations being done properly to meet safety guidelines. They also insisted that all residents already had AC units and said that they had to send these cease and desist for other issues like unauthorized music video shoots and large gatherings, creating a public safety hazard.
Well, God, the man tried to do something good. Jesus Christ. Drop on the clues bombs for Kodak Black. I mean,
he was like installing the units himself too, so that was nice and exciting.
Dang, it'd make you not even want to do nothing for nobody.
Now, the housing authority did say they welcomed the opportunity to collaborate with him on his efforts to give back to the community, though.
Hold on.
They got called out.
Now you said he was with that woman for 4 years, right?
Well, they met 4 years ago.
Yeah, that was December 2018 when he was on The Breakfast Club. So
they met 4 years ago, but he got engaged, I mean, in 2019 to Mello Rex, remember?
Mm.
So
he's not with her.
There's a whole explanation for it. I actually interviewed him, and that is coming out this week. So he talks about all of that. All right, now, Janet Jackson has shared the first teaser for her new documentary, This is the Truth, Take It or Leave It. It's a 2-part documentary, and it's set to air on Lifetime and A&E in January. So here's the teaser trailer, the first one they've put out.
This is what a superstar looked like.
She's an empowered woman.
She is a force to be reckoned with.
She comes from a whole family of legends.
She will always be my baby sister.
This is my story, told by me. Not through someone else's eyes. This is the truth. Take it or leave it. Love it or hate it. This is me.
All right.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to watch that one.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. And happy birthday to Nori. Noriega, friend to the room. Of course, rapper, of course, podcaster in media now. Yesterday was his birthday. So
you're
happy
probably
birthday.
Listening right now. Dropping the clues bombs for N.O.
Yeah, shout out to N.O. I know. And he also celebrated his wedding anniversary over the week. And I couldn't make it. Well, actually, I was supposed to. But then when I looked at all the pictures, everybody was all dressed up and looked so nice. I was coming from a party. I didn't want to do that to Nori. So, but happy birthday, Nori, and happy anniversary.
I'm glad you exist, King.
Yes.
I'm happy for you. Absolutely.
Happy anniversary, Nori and Neri.
Love you, N.O. All right, now we got front page news coming up.
Yes, the Department of Justice is pledging support for reproductive health care after Texas has pretty much banned abortion.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
It's Angela Yee. Feel tired and out of it? You could be dealing with junk sleep from sleeping on the wrong mattress. The Mattress Firm sleep experts will match you to the perfect mattress and help you unjunk your sleep. Visit MattressFirm.com or a Mattress Firm store today.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news.
Happy Tuesday, guys.
Where we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with the Department of Justice. They have pledged support for reproductive health care after Texas has basically said that women cannot get abortions after 6 weeks, which at that time, a lot of women don't even know that they're pregnant by week six. And also anybody who helps aid a woman get an abortion, even a Lyft or Uber driver, could face those consequences and any type of reproductive health services, all of that. So the Attorney General is now saying the department will provide support from federal law enforcement when an abortion clinic or reproductive health center is under attack. They said, we will not tolerate violence against those seeking to obtain or provide reproductive health services, physical obstruction, or property damage in violation of the FACE Act. So that happened. Also, Lyft and Uber said they will pay legal fees for drivers who are sued under this new Texas abortion law. So if a woman is in need of transportation to a clinic, what the law says is that those drivers could face civil lawsuits under that law. Well, Lyft and Uber is now saying that you can't even ask a person, like, you don't have to tell your driver where they're taking you, and you have that right to privacy. So imagine you go and you get in a Lyft and then you're going to a clinic, and now that person who has no idea what you're going for ends up getting charged with taking you. That doesn't make sense, because that doesn't comply with people's basic rights to privacy, to the community guidelines provided by these services, and the spirit of rideshare.
I still feel like people aren't raising holy hell about that law in Texas the way they should be. Like, when you see the white supremacy court upholding unconstitutional laws like that, it's only a matter of time before they try to get, you know, rid of Roe versus Wade on a national level, right?
Right, because they said Florida's next.
Lord have mercy.
Trying to follow behind Texas. Now, abortion funds and practical support organizations that provide women in need with money, transportation, lodging, recovery care, and child care could also face civil suits under this new law, as well as doctors, nurses, domestic violence counselors. And even if you're somebody's friend, somebody's parent, somebody's spouse, clergy member, anybody who drives a woman to a clinic or even just provides counseling about whether to have the procedure could potentially be charged under this new law. So drivers, everybody should not be put at risk. All right. Now, this past Labor Day saw 300% more new COVID cases on average than last year. So that's the jump that we're seeing. This has translated into overcrowded hospitals, a rise in infections among children, which is a particular concern. Like I said earlier, a lot of students are going back to the classrooms, and people are also fearing that this past holiday weekend could make matters even worse. So they said one big difference between this year and last year, the more transmissible Delta variant. Another one is that Americans over 12 years old can get highly effective COVID-19 vaccines. Experts say that is the best defense against the virus, but only 53% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated. So as we're waiting for these kids, only 53%.
53%. And they said they got to get, what, the 70?
Mm-hmm.
Because I keep waiting for that herd immunity thing to kick in, but I guess a certain number of people
haven't heard them mention that in a long time.
I haven't either.
They switched it up.
But I know they said a certain number of people had to be vaccinated in order for that to happen. I think it was like, what, 70%?
But we're pretty far. Yeah, we're pretty far from that mark anyway. We're only at 53%.
That's not far. That's not pretty far.
And I mean, it's been a long time that they've been saying this, and we're still almost 20% away from that.
And didn't they announce a couple of weeks ago that 70% of the population was vaccinated, but it was only like, they only had got like one shot or something like that?
No, I think that was in certain states. Yeah, I think that was in, I want to say New Jersey or something like that.
Nah,
that was
just Joe Biden said that. That was on a
national
level.
Did he say that? Yeah. I thought it was only a certain state. I could have been wrong.
Well, the thing is that a lot of our population isn't even eligible to get vaccinated, because if you're under 12, you can't. So I don't even see how that's even going to be possible until that's available for everyone, right?
See, that's
all right. Virginia is also set to remove Richmond Lee's statue, and that is supposed to be happening tomorrow, more than 130 years after it was built as a tribute to a Civil War hero. He is widely seen as a symbol of racial injustice, and according to state officials, that is going to come down this week. Their governor said this is an important step in showing who we are and what we value as a commonwealth. So that is on top of a granite pedestal nearly, which is in the on Monument Avenue. So they have announced plans to take the statue down. Since last year in June, And they announced that 10 days after George Floyd died under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer, the plans were stalled for more than a year by two lawsuits that were filed by residents who were opposed to the removal. But rulings last week by the Supreme Court of Virginia cleared the way for that statue to be taken down. So tomorrow is the day.
Yeah, definitely. All right. It's got to go. But yeah.
All right. And that is.
Just to go back to what we were talking about. Yeah, the CDC showed that 70% of U.S. adults have had at least one shot of a COVID-19 vaccine.
Right. So for fully vaccinated, it's only 53%. But they said, I think it's 62% of the population who's eligible to get it have gotten it. But 53% of the population in general are fully vaccinated.
All right.
All right. Well, and that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams. He passed away yesterday. He was found. So he came a couple of years ago, and I think this was one of his first interviews on The Breakfast Club. And he just talked about his start and getting into character and getting out of character. And he breaks down a lot. So we're going to get that back on when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Again, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams. He's been on The Breakfast Club a bunch of times, so we wanted to get back an interview when he, one of the first times he came on and talked about how he got his start and some of the roles he played. So let's get into it now. Again, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We got a special guest in the building.
One of the most underrated actors in the business, I would say.
All right, Mr. Michael K. Williams.
Yo, good morning, good morning, good morning.
So glad you made it up here because we felt like you were ducking us. I'm not gonna lie.
Why?
Ducking? Do you know I listen? Do you know I take the iHeart app wherever I go? I've listened to you guys, I swear to God, everything I love, in London on the set of Assassin's Creed. Yo, y'all keep me grounded, man. Wow. I listen to all your interviews, man, whenever I can. Wherever, any part of the world where I can get the iHeart app, I listen to it.
Well, thank you for that. So you heard us having the conversation one morning when Justin Bieber said he didn't want to play a gay role.
A gay role, right?
Right.
Well, I missed that one.
Yeah.
That one
got yeah. I mean, because your name came up a lot in it, because I was like, it didn't hurt Michael K. Williams when he played Omar. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I come from a, you know, it was do or die, you know, Brooklyn. You know, like, the price is right. I'm going to kiss you. It was like, what? You cutting checks? I'm from a different era. We didn't have social media back then. You had to get it popping.
So you never had any reservations about playing the role?
Man, listen, I have reservations about not eating. You know, I found something in life that I gravitated to that kept my attention, man. I was the kid that was always stepping in huge turds of manure.
Gotcha.
You know, these cuts in my face did not come from, you know, me selling, you know, the newspaper, newspaper route. I was always getting into trouble and just could never get focused in nothing, man. And the arts gave me something to believe in, something I could believe in myself and feel good about myself. So, you know, it was just like I did anything. I had no fear with this. This is something that made me feel good about myself.
And let's keep in mind, that role was an incredible role.
Big role.
It was a very complex role. Like, really, being gay was so secondary to who Omar was in general as far as being, like, the most gangster
exactly
person
how I played
on The Wire.
It. I played it like, so what? You know, my biggest concern with Omar playing that character was to make sure that people believed when I picked that gun up that I was going to kill you.
Right,
because if you knew me, everybody know that Mike the Cream Puff dude. I'm not that dude. Anybody that grew up with me in Brooklyn, I would jump in the rope with you. You know what I mean? I don't care, you know? Yeah. I was not the gangster.
Right.
You know, so I wanted to make sure people, when I picked that gun up, I had to believe that I could do that so the audience believed that.
So what was harder to play, the gangster role or the gay role?
For me, it was definitely the gangster role. I had to go somewhere and make myself believe. What could make me believe that I would want to kill somebody? And I had to find that within myself. Omar was, I wasn't acting. I got to go somewhere.
Gotcha.
And it's dark. I locked in with Omar because he was sensitive. He was vulnerable. I didn't play him as the alpha male. I play him like, which made him connect to anybody, connect to him. If you push anybody in the corner, they are going to retaliate. They're going to attack. It's the nature of life. And Omar kind of played him from this sensitive dude, like you can't hurt his feelings.
So you could see yourself with a man, but not see yourself killing somebody.
I could see myself in love, bro.
Gotcha.
I could see myself in love. You know, I don't really, I didn't really get onto the whole, the male female thing. I looked at it was love. You know what I mean? And I didn't have to walk in high heel shoes, at least not for that one. Shout out to the cast of 999. You know what I mean?
So you have no problem playing any role.
Nah, man, you know, I've played a few gay characters. You know, I called my agent the other day. I was like, you know, this question is going to start coming up in a minute. You know, Happy Leonard, Omar, you know, I got this joint coming out, ABC, called When We Rise, which is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw. That's the HIV positive.
Yeah, man. I had to lose weight. I lost, like 40 pounds for that role. Shout out to Ken Jones, San Francisco, the people of, you know, Castro.
Now, how do you get that energy out of you? And I mean this with all the roles, because, I mean, you play Omar on The Wire, you played Chalky on White. Boardwalk Empire, those were gangsters. Then you play a lot of gay roles. How do you get rid of all of that energy?
Man, Charlamagne, I'm so glad you asked that because, you know, I had to learn how to wash my psyche, man. This kid, my little brother, man, in Atlanta, 21 years old, we was chilling in Atlanta, I was on a set of Bessie, and the kid was like, he said, man, you look stressed out. Do you meditate? I was like, huh? He said, man, you need to wash your brain, bro. Like, you know, you taking all these characters, and I was like, this kid told me this. I was like, yo, you gotta wash your brain, Mike. Mm. You know, so prayer, I had to get back in the Bible, man, just to get on my knees and just like wash. I had to reconnect with my family, people who matter to me. I'm gonna be 50 years old in November, so I reconnected with my kids. You know, my eldest son, you know, he had some issues, some situations. I had to, like, you know, family came first, and that kind of balances me out with these dark characters that I play, you know. And then, you know, you look at where my career has brought me, where I'm portraying like a character like Freddie. That's my nephew, Dominic DuPont. That's based on my real life. Jimmy Roseman, my big brother, who these characters now, the Night of, you know, Black Market, these are stories that the universe is sending me to portray. And it's like they have impacted my life, my personal life, in one point or another, whether me or someone who I love. So I can't run from this no more.
Gotcha.
You know?
Well, how is your family life and your personal life? Because you play those roles, you live those roles, and you got to be a different person.
You know, I'm a work in progress. I will say that much. I just strive to be better than the dude I was yesterday.
Right.
And I don't try to put too much expectations on myself because I'm...
How does your family look at you? Do they
I'm still in the club. Nobody's angel. I'm still in the club, man.
So I just
take it one day at a time.
And you got to get a lot of... Especially if you're playing gay roles. Just to make sure.
I'm not going to lie. One night I was out with my friends right when The Wire was on, and my girl was like, oh, there go Omar from The Wire. And I was like, okay. And then my other friend was like, you know, he's gay, though. And I'm like, no, that's just a character that he plays on the show. That's not him in real life. And people sometimes do get that, especially just when that was only what people knew you from initially. You know,
I'm going to keep it 100 with you, right? You know, this last job I did out there in San Francisco, man, When We Rise, it made me look at a lot of things in my life that had happened to me. You know, I'm a survivor of molestation, and we're going to leave it at that. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, I did question myself, and we're going to leave that at that, you know, but where I've been is really nobody's business, and what I do in my bedroom or have done in my bedroom, I'm not at liberty to talk about that, really, but I will say this much. I definitely had to look at some things in my life and some questions I had in my life that got aroused in me playing my characters, you know, so I'm near with it right now, you know what I mean?
I like hearing you say that too, because there's a lot of kids that are still trying to figure out, you know, their sexuality because of situations like that.
And themselves,
And they end up killing themselves because they're young, but you old and you still dealing with it. And I like the fact you say you're still a work in progress, like,
yes, sir.
You're just trying to figure it out.
Man, yeah, I'm gonna stay young at heart, man. Big Jose, you know, young forever, bro. I want to be wise.
Right up,
I definitely want. I want to get wiser, you know. But I'm gonna stay young at heart forever, man. I love youth.
All right, that was part one of our interview with Michael K. Williams. Again, rest in peace. This is when he came through a couple of years ago. We're gonna get part two back on when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're getting on an interview we did with Michael K. Williams a couple of years ago. He passed away over the weekend, and I wanted to get back an old interview of him talking about how he got started and in some of his characters. So let's get into part two of it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was watching Black Market, and I saw you in Newark. And going to the church that you say actually kind of helped save you.
Yes,
I was surprised to hear some things on there. Like, you know, people picture you, you're on TV, and they automatically think, oh, he's got money, he's doing well, he's on TV. But you said things weren't so great for you.
No. The Wire. I lived in the projects in Vanderveer until the second season of The Wire, where I got evicted because I was on drugs. You know, at that point in my life, I'm on a TV show. I'm literally, I'm homeless, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say homeless, you know, shout out to Mom Dukes and my family that was out of state. You know, it was either that, my mother's couch, or sleeping on my kids' bedroom floor on Staten Island. The only place where I could really be myself, because I had some issues I was working through. I was partying. Mm-hmm. And the only place I can do that and be safe was with these dudes, my brothers, you know, out there in Isabella or in Newark, New Jersey, man. Shout out to the Hill family. Those brothers took me in, you know. And I had people who loved me who could take me in, but did I really want to go back and live in the projects? Right. You know?
And this is why you on man, HBO every week?
I was on HBO. I was hungry, man. I made a lot of bad decisions early on in my career. And it's the grace of God that, you know, you only had no damn TMZ or me out there, you know?
Right.
Because I don't think them cameras was coming to the parts where I was at. They wasn't rolling over there.
What kind of drugs were they selling in the 90s that you had so many functioning drug addicts that could win?
Even in the 90s,
yeah, early 2000s. DMX made $33 million. On the wire.
I'm a dinosaur, man. There's very little I haven't done.
Yeah.
I got dinosaur blood in me. But my downfall, you know, I'll keep it real, honey. It was coke at one point. You know, yeah, I did smoke it. It was the 80s, you know what I'm saying? The 80s and the 90s. We didn't have examples of crackheads. It was shown to me as being something sexy. You know, dudes and women on the dance floor with leather and suede and fox with, you know, hitting their personal pipe on the dance floor, throwing their hands up. I thought that was sexy. You know, right. I was in them places way too young,
yeah.
You know, and I saw way too much, way too early. And, you know, I got a little turned out, but, you know, it's in the grace of God. I'm here today to talk about it.
How do you play those characters? Because you play some of those characters, even in the Night Of, you know, you're using drugs in Night Of. Does that bother you when you have to play those characters? Is that a character's like, nah, I don't want to do that? Or are you just like, I'm acting?
Once I believe the world is real, I mean, you got to do it. You got to commit to it or don't do the job, you know. But Freddie was definitely, yeah, that beat me up.
But let's talk about
it. Does it make you want to relapse?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In a word. Yeah, to keep it 100.
Because you were cooking it up. You were putting it together.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing.
I don't play with that. You know, it's real. You know, those feelings when I committed murder in a character, I got those emotions are real, bro. If it looks real to you, it's because it felt real to me.
Right.
You know, and you got it. Like you said, what do you do with those feelings, those emotions? Those things create energy. They have to go somewhere, and you can't keep them in you. It'll cross you up.
Yeah, but you can't go around killing people.
You cannot go around.
You might get to have sex with a man. You might get to do some coke, but you can't just kill people, Michael.
But that is not cool. You know what I'm saying?
Did it ever affect you getting to work on time and taking care of your responsibilities?
A time or two, you know. But I would like to say that I have a pretty good track record in my 20-some-odd years in this business. Mm-hmm. I'm known for being on time, doing the work, and being respectful.
Let's talk Night Of.
Let's talk Night Of.
Like, I know you got some questions.
First thing I said was I was disappointed in the finale.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you think that? What made you think it was weak? And what did you want to see?
For everybody who hasn't seen it, there's a female that dies, and there's a guy in there that they're trying to say that killed it, and it's a hung jury, so he gets off.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was I want to know who killed the young lady, because we never find out who
it
killed the young lady.
It could have been him.
But you find out in season two, right?
There's technically no season two, okay. But that is true. And to your point, you are correct. There was a murder that went unsolved.
Right.
But what the writers, I think, in my mind, what the writers were trying to show you was we got to watch a whole nother crime happen while we're waiting to see what happened in the initial crime, which was how Nasir got treated in the judicial system. That was a crime that we watched happen right in front of our eyes. We didn't have to wonder who did that. You know, our system failed that young man. That man was innocent until proven poor. Because had he had the money to get the powerful lawyers, the right lawyers, it is my belief, what I've seen in past situations in this country, that situation would have probably been handled differently had he had the proper lawyers. He went in there as a Muslim with no money and having been accused of killing a Upper West Side white girl.
Done. Right.
Yeah, basically.
Done.
He had no record.
None.
Was a good college kid.
They had him as a flight risk. The dude had no passport.
Right.
Where's he going?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tupac discovered you, right?
Pac found me with a Polaroid, you know, in New York shooting a movie called Bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And of him and Mickey Rourke, he was looking for a role to play the little brother.
Right.
And Pac saw a Polaroid picture of me. I'll never forget this Polaroid. It was, you know, back in the days you go to an audition, they put you on the wall and Polaroid
right,
you.
Right.
I had a purple sweatshirt on with the word gravy. My black butt with a purple sweatshirt. I don't know how this dude saw me. Like an eggplant.
And some gravy on it.
Large. You know what I mean? So the dude saw me, but he reckoned he clocked the scar and was like, yo, who is this dude? And he said, yo, find this dude. And in his words, he told me on the set, he told me in the limousine scene, he says, I saw your picture and I said, I saw the scar. And he said, this dude looks thugged out enough to play my little brother. And he also went back and told the writer, because you remember he had the Slick Rick eye patch on?
Right.
He did that because, like, he said, yo, we both was bald headed. You got the scar. I got the one eye. We brothers. We look crazy, right? I was like, yeah, Pac, we look crazy. we crazy.
That was your man? Y'all was close?
No, man, I was in awe of that brother. I said very little around him. I literally used to shake around him, man. I was older than him. All I wanted to do with this dude, honestly, was just smoke a blunt with him. Mm-hmm. Really, I wanted to just be able to say I smoked a blunt with Pac, right? So I said, I got it. I'm going to come to work tomorrow with the weed, but no blunt. And then I'm going to knock on his door and be like, ah. And I swear to you, remember that scene in How High? This is before the movie was out. Yeah, I created this. That stuff really happens.
Right,
I
said,
so I'm like, okay, so I knocked, I had my weed. I knocked on his trailer, and he was in there. He was in a conversation talking to Stretch. God bless the dead. Stretch was in the trailer talking, and you could hear it was a very passionate conversation. I'm going to go, what? I said, hey, Pac, you got an extra blunt? Nah! Bam, close the door. And he went back to his conversation. I was like,
damn. So you never got to smoke a blunt with him?
No, in a word, no, damn. I never got to smoke a blunt with him. But you know what, though? In his defense, he taught me. I learned so much watching him work on the set. I learned how to conduct myself in the set. He was the first person I ever heard that say he doesn't come to the set and get in character. Come prepared. When I come on the set, Tupac is back in my trailer. I'm the character now.
That's real.
I learned that from him. I learned how to speak up.
I admire anybody who met Pac, though, because Pac seemed like such a mythological figure.
Right.
Now, people are going to kill me if I don't ask, how did you get this car?
Oh, I was in a bar in Jamaica, Queens on my 25th birthday, and I got really drunk, and I entertained the conversation that I would have normally ignored had I been sober, and I got jumped.
Mm.
The crap beat out of me. And that's literally what happened to the dude, how I got cut in my face. Dude spit a razor. He kept saying, what? What? You know, in hindsight, what he was doing was he was getting that razor ready.
Mm.
And I was like, dude, and I remember my last words to him was, dude, yo, we all black, man. Well, why we got to be like this, man? We supposed to be all brothers. Why you in my face like this, bro? Woof. My thought was, that's all you got? Are you trying to smack dudes now? And I went in. He kept cutting.
Yeah.
My friend who dragged me out, he got cut too. He was the first one to tell me my face was cut. He's like, yo, Mike, you're going to be all right, though. And I was like, what? I said, you just got a little touch in your face, but I thought I was sweating.
Mm.
And I went like this. I was like, oh, word? So I went back to fight more, right? Because I lost my mind. But I saw my friend was barely standing. He had lost so much blood, so I thought he was going to die there. And so I said, we got in the car, and thank God we drove to the hospital, and the rest is history.
Man, you need to be working on your biopic. Talk about old Dirty Miles Davis. God bless him, but damn.
Yeah. Damn, well, we appreciate you joining us, man. The stories today, amazing.
I know. Are you still a great dancer?
I still boogie. You know, I'm a househead, you know. Yeah, I'm a househead. While y'all was in the tunnel, I was down the block at the Sound Factory. You know what I mean?
You need a role that incorporates some dancing or something.
I would love that, man.
See, that's the problem. You playing all these gay roles and ain't did a dance role.
I ain't
did
a dance role.
What you doing, man?
All they got me doing incredible. Is kissing dudes and busting guns, man. I got to do something. I can dance.
did you dance? You know what I'm saying, Sean? Was it for Madonna? Did you dance for Madonna?
I didn't dance for her. I was in the video, though, Secrets. By the time I did the Madonna video, I was like, I was the dude with the scar. They thought I was a model. I mean, but now I danced for...
Thought you were Seal.
Yeah, I ran with that, though. Because Seal gave me... No, I said, these were tribal markings. I'm from that same tribe as Seal. I'm dead serious, bro. I have to say that because I didn't want to tell that long story.
Well, we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, man. Thank y'all for having me, man. Keep doing what y'all do, man.
Thank you,
real
brother.
Talk. I love y'all, bro.
All right. It's Michael K. Williams. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Yo.
Again, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Definitely sending healing energy to, you know, the family of Michael K. Williams.
Absolutely.
But you can see what an amazing person he was. So many people that he's come across posting him, talking about how great he was and all the philanthropy that he did outside of just his acting and how open and honest he was about things that he was going through in his life. So we do want to give some love to his family and loved ones.
Is everything okay with you in Brooklyn? I'm hearing fire alarms. I'm hearing fire trucks, police sirens.
Oh, it's Brooklyn. Come on.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Well, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, and let's talk about Kanye and Drake. Of course, there's so much activity around the release of both of these albums that have nothing to do with the music.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club. Listen up.
All right. Well, Kanye has got the 10th number one album with Donda. So congratulations to him. He earned a total of 309,000 equivalent album units. So that's a big deal for Kanye. Now, Drake Certified Lover Boy has broken Spotify records. And I guess we'll see what those numbers are looking like this week. So on Friday, Spotify announced that he has the most album streams in a single day. And so he actually broke his own record that he set himself with Scorpion back in 2018. That project got 132 million streams in just one day. So as you can imagine, this new one, Certified Lover Boy, has made history. They said that according to chart data, it only took 12 hours for him to reach that accomplishment. So big deal for both of these artists, right? No matter what's going on, or if you're Drake or if you're Kanye.
Yeah, congratulations to both of them.
Yeah,
and
both
and
of
Drake
them.
Has one of the biggest records in the club already. Too Sexy is the biggest record in the club.
And the video, right? You love the video.
Video's dope too. But in the club this weekend, that was the biggest record in the strip club, regular club. It didn't matter. Too Sexy was that record.
Oh, yeah. You could hear that on the album and knew that was going to go. Did y'all listen to the whole album? What did y'all think?
I did listen to the album.
I was actually listening to it when I was driving to Maryland. So, yeah, it's a vibe. I like it. There's a lot of quotables on there. You know, people were looking for things to put in their bios on social media. A lot of great quotables.
What do you think, Envy?
I think it was too long. I think it was too many songs. I think the vibes are when he's rapping. I love when Drake raps. The other one's not for me, but I love when Drake raps. What you thought?
I mean, it's cool. I mean, Drake makes consistently good records. Like, you know, he just doesn't have another level. Like, you know what to expect from Drake. And that's fine because, you know, Drake will always be enough until someone comes along and shows this era something better.
But I will say that, you know, different eras like different things. My son, who is about to be 18, loves Drake's album. Hands down, that's his favorite album. He loves Drake album. Me, I like when Drake raps. I like when he does the 7 a.m. The Bridal One, or him with Ross and Wayne and even the Too Sexy. I like when he raps. That's mm-hmm. just me.
And he's a certified lover boy. I kind of felt like it was going to be more of an R&B vibe on this one just because of the title. To me, that's what I anticipated. But there's a lot of drama, like we said, going on behind the scenes. Now, Andre 3000 has had to release a statement, and that was clarifying his contribution to an unreleased Donda track, Life of the Party. Drake actually leaked the song on his show on Sirius XM, and here is what that song sounded like. Here's Kanye's part.
Hey, Miss Donda, you're on to my mama. Please tell her I said say something. I'm starting to believe ain't no such thing as heaven's trumpets. No after over, this is it done. If there's a heaven, you would think they let you speak to your son.
Maybe that's goddamn Three Stacks. Drop on a clue bomb for Andre 3000.
Yeah. Boy.
Now, Andre 3000 did this very rare appearance. It was a moving tribute to his mother in line with the theme of Donda. And Kanye, however, took some shots on the song. And I guess, according to Andre 3000, this wasn't on there when he first got the track.
Put Virgil and Drake on the same text, and it wasn't about the matching Arc'teryx or Kid Cudi dress. Just told these grown men, stop it with the funny ish. I might hire the whole team from ACG.
Boo, boo, nigga, boo. Kanye should be ashamed of himself wasting an Andre 3000 moment like that. Andre 3000 spit pure gospel. That was 100% pure light. Such a beautiful expression of the divine masculine. And Kanye ruined it being a 44-year-old man talking about on GD. If you don't sit your silly ass down somewhere and stop being lame.
Well, here's Andre 3000's statement. And by the way, let's be clear, this was unreleased. So I'm assuming we weren't supposed to hear this.
But even
right?
as an artist, after you hear Andre 3000 spill his guts the way he did, how could you have somebody write you something like that?
We also don't know if Kanye wrote that part first and then sent it. We don't know. I mean, I don't know. And so here's Andre 3000's statement. A few weeks ago, Kanye reached out about me being part of the Donda album. I was inspired by his idea to make a musical tribute to his mom. It felt appropriate to me to support the Donda concept by referencing my own mother who passed away in 2013. We both share that loss. I thought it was a beautiful choice to make a clean album, but unfortunately, I didn't know that was the plan before I wrote and recorded my verse. It was clear to me that an edited clean format of the verse would not work without having the raw original also available. So sadly, I had to be omitted from the original album release. The track I received and wrote to didn't have the diss verse on it, and we were hoping to make a more focused offering for the Donda album, but I guess things happen like they are supposed to.
Yeah.
So he said he also wanted to be on Certified Lover Boy, by the way. He said, I just want to work with people that inspire me. Hopefully, I can work with Kendrick on his album. I love to work with Lil Baby, Tyler, and Jay-Z. I respect them all.
Yeah, I thought the whole Donda album was going to feel like that Andre 3000 verse. I thought we were going to get that kind of vulnerability, that kind of reflection from Kanye. Like the way 3K talked about, you know, his mom passing, that's what I expected. But, you know, ego will always be the enemy.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report. We have more to come with that, too, in the next hour.
All right. Now, we got Donkey of the Day up next.
Yes. I need Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman of the Chicago Police Department to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right. We'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
From James Wan, director of The Conjuring, comes a new vision of terror. On September 10th, Malignant hits theaters. You don't want to miss it, and you won't want to see it alone. Malignant, rated R in theaters and on HBO Max, September 10th.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day. Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, September 7th, goes to a cop in Chicago named Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman. He's a 21-year veteran of the Chicago Police Department, and he's been arrested. Okay, in fact, he turned himself into the department's Bureau of Internal Affairs, and he's been charged with two felonies, aggravated battery, and official misconduct after he decided to... Well, there's no need for me to tell you. Let's go to ABC 7 Chicago for the report, please.
Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman facing two felony charges for this incident, which occurred back in February. His attorney, however, says he's innocent. He says the officer was following his training and was trying to de-escalate an otherwise dangerous situation. Roman is free to go back to work after being released on a $5,000 I bond. In court, prosecutors described his alleged crimes. After two suspects jumped out of a car they allegedly stole, officers gave chase and took them into custody. While other officers adjusted the handcuffs on a 17-year-old suspect identified by the initials ZK, prosecutors allege Roman approached him. Defendant yelled for ZK to shut up. Defendant then approached ZK from behind and shoved his flashlight into his clothed behind. And later, as the suspect was being led away, Roman allegedly said, "That's what you get for carjacking." The small flashlight, the attorney says, never penetrated the suspect's skin and caused no injuries.
You know, I'm a grown-ass human. I'm 43 years old. I've seen a lot in 43 years. When I hear this story of Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman, a story that, you know, traumatizes me on so many levels, because number one, it's just another example of police officers doing whatever they want to black bodies. Number two, I can't help but think of one of the most disturbing stories I ever heard in my life, which is the case of Abner Louima. OK, here in New York City. Remember that case back in 97 when a cop named,
of course,
I think his name was Justin Volpe. I think that's how you pronounce his last name, or Volpe. Sodomized Abner Louima with a broomstick, or it was the handle of a plunger, something like that. Sodomized him, ruptured his colon and bladder, and, you know, Justin Volpe went to prison because of that. In fact, he's been in there 21 years. Early this year, he tried to get a compassionate release because of COVID, but was denied and has to stay in until 2025. I mean, the punishment, you know, is a great punishment, but it doesn't even fit the crime. There's no amount of prison time that can take back the trauma he caused Abner Louima. And I don't understand why people don't learn from the mistakes of others. Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman has been on the Chicago Police Department for the amount of time Justin Volpe has been in prison. So he may not be familiar with the Abner Louima case. But even if he was, he needs to ask himself, why would he want to do that to someone? Why? What's the reason? You already got him in custody. You already got him in handcuffs. What's the point of putting a flashlight in that man, Bunky? Last time I checked, the Chicago Police Department's mission statement was to serve our communities and protect the lives, rights, and property of all people in Chicago. Okay, nothing in that mission statement says anything about Chicago police officers being criminals and perverts, though. Okay, now let's talk about what Wilfredo's attorney said. And I need to add him to Donkey of the Day, too, but he's just doing what an attorney gets paid to do, and that's attempt to get his guy off. But would you like to see how he downplayed the accusations during a bond hearing last Thursday? Well, his attorney, James McKay, said, and I quote, "This is like a spank or a spanking, for the love of God." He also added, "I had nuns that treated me far worse." Let me tell you something, sir. If you had a nun doing worse things to you than sticking a flashlight in your bunky, then you need to give us all the names of those nuns, because they need to be in prison, okay? What's worse than a cop trying to stick a flashlight up your bunky? The worst is what happened to Abner Louima. So nuns were doing things like that to you? Nobody can make an excuse for bad behavior like an attorney, but Wilfredo Roman, even former NYPD officer Justin Volpe admitted he committed a crime. He did something wrong to someone. You got your lawyer saying it's the equivalent of a spanking, and nuns did worse than him? The lawyer is arguing with the judge that the flashlight in question is smaller than my pen, and it did not penetrate the teen? Huh? Why, oh, why is that your reasoning? How about the officer shouldn't even have attempted to put something in that man's bunkie to begin with? Now, Roman has been the subject of 40 citizen complaints, including allegations of excessive force and false arrest. He's been sued for misconduct allegations at least 3 times. If you ask me, I think Wilfredo Roman has been trying his hardest to go to prison, so it's time that he gets sent there. Please give Lieutenant Wilfredo Roman the biggest hee-haw. I mean, when you got all those allegations, excessive force, false arrest, you've been sued for misconduct allegations at least 3 times, and you're doing stuff like this, trying to stick flashlights in little children's bunkies? Come on, man. Come on, man. Where's the prison when you need it?
All right. Well, thank you for that Donkey of the Day, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, when we come back, let's open up the phone lines, 800-585-1051. Now, we were talking about Bernice Burgos. You have the story, Yee?
Yes, okay. She was in the strip club actually partying with her daughter.
Right. So we're asking, 800-585-1051. People I see were talking about this. I don't know if they were upset or if they had a problem with it or what it was. But do you go clubbing with your kids? That is the question. 800-585-1051. Bernice Burgos and her daughter, who is, I believe, 23, 24 years old, are out having a good time. Do y'all see a problem with it? Let's talk about it. All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. And if you just joined us, we're asking, do you go clubbing with your kids? 800-585-1051. Now, the story came from Hollywood Unlocked. Bernice Burgos posted a picture of her and her daughter at the club. And they were having a good time. She was slapping her daughter on the ass. And we're asking, do you go clubbing with your kids? Start with you, Yee. Would you go clubbing with your moms?
I don't think I've ever been to a club with my mom. I would say I don't have any kids. But we definitely will have, like, drinks together and stuff like that. But we never been to a club together. But my mom's also not, like, the clubby type of person.
Yeah. So, for my mom, my pops, I actually took them to my first club, I think, like, 2 weeks ago. It was a day party. It was the first time they actually seen me DJ. So, they had a good time going out. And as far as my daughter's concerned, yeah, I've taken my daughter with me several times. No, I'm not slapping her on the ass or is she grinding. But
oh my God, we don't want to see that. No.
I'm just saying, but she is in the club with me and I'm teaching her how to move in the club, how to get in and out and what to look for and things that I feel like a dad should teach their daughter and son when they're out and about. So yeah, she goes out with me and we have a good time together. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, my kids are babies. I mean, my oldest is 13 and I'm not the club type anyway. So, I mean, it's different for you, Envy, because you a DJ. So being that you a DJ, yeah, you would probably, you know, take your daughter out. She's younger, too, so she probably just getting into the clubs and parties herself. So why not go with her dad, who's a DJ? That makes sense. And yeah. Same thing with Bernice. Bernice, what, 40, 41 years old? Her daughter, like, 25?
25, like, something like that.
I don't see the big deal.
I don't see a problem with it either.
Yeah, my friend Valerie just texted me. She said, hey, little Mark just turned 23 and I would party with him. You have to remember to act your age and not his. You are most likely partying with someone else, 23-year-old. Why not yours?
I don't see the problem.
I agree.
I'm not in the club at 40-something years old, but if you still are and you want to go with your 20-something-year-old kid, why not?
Yeah, I don't see a problem with it. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
This is Jay from Queens.
Hey, Jay from Queens. You partying with your kids, man?
Well, no, I partied with my father when I was 18.
Okay.
When I turned 18, he took me out for the first time. He let me be the designated driver, let me drive that night. But it was embarrassing.
Why was it embarrassing?
Because, all right, the first club we went to, he got super drunk. He bought me some drinks. And
no, he did
like
not.
That. I didn't really get drunk. I ain't really getting drunk like that. I was 18. I wasn't even supposed to be drinking, but I guess he knew the owner of the club. And then right after, that's when the most embarrassing thing happened. We went to his friend's house. It was a boxer. I can't remember his name. And he had a party. And then my father was just dancing by himself in a corner and then knocked out a whole table of food.
Oh, my gosh.
Lord have mercy.
And then people walking up to me like, yo, you're not going to get him? I'm like, nah, I don't know him. I'm not going there.
That is the one concern. But will your parent embarrass you when you party with them in the club?
Oh man, it was fun, but it was a little embarrassing at the same time.
That's all a right. Cute story.
Thank you. Hello, who's this?
This is Beth.
Hey, do you party with your kids in the club?
Well, me and my mom, we like to go out and chill because he's my best friend. So I mean, why not?
I ain't mad at it.
That's a yes.
What's the age difference?
My mom's 56 and I'm 22.
Lord have mercy. Where the hell y'all go at together?
Anywhere. We'll go to a restaurant, get drunk at a bar.
Gay parties. Yeah, I get it.
White girl wasted.
What kind of music she like, though?
Well, she can't hear, so I do sign language. Cool. She listens to whatever I listen to because she can't hear no way.
Oh, y'all got to be careful. Y'all going to end up getting jumped in the club because people going to think y'all throwing up sex. I'm serious.
We've had that question asked before, but...
Damn. All right.
Appreciate all right. Well, thank you. All right. 800-585-1051. We're asking, do you go clubbing with your kids or do you club with your parents? Call us up right now. Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I know it now. I know it now.
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. If you're just joining, we're asking, do you go clubbing with your kids or do you club with your parents? All right. Now, this came from Bernice Burgos. She posted a video of her and her daughter at the club. They were dancing. She smacked her daughter on the ass. They're having a good time. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think it's actually better if you go to the club with your kids. You teach them what they should be looking for. I don't see a problem with it.
Also,
I just don't know if I would want to go to the club with my mom either. It's fine for Bernice to go with her daughter. I don't know that I want to. And Bernice is fun in the club, I'm sure. I don't know that my mom would be.
You don't
like,
think your mom fun is fun?
Not in the club.
Your mom might bust out the electric slide. You never know.
Yeah, but nobody doing the electric slide in the clubs that Angela Yee going to. Like, the difference between Bernice and her daughter is, like, Bernice, they're growing up in the same era almost. Like, you know, it's weird, right? Because this era of 40-somethings and 20-somethings, they're into a lot of the same things.
Correct.
You know, music, fashion, whatever else. So it's different. It's not like the disconnect between like a 40-something and a 60-something.
Correct. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Tremonti Boucher.
All right.
What about your booty?
Okay, say it again.
What you say? What's your booty? What happened now?
My name, Tremonti Boucher.
Oh, Tremaine Boucher. Okay, I thought you said
booty. Like the word true and money.
Got you.
He just wanted to hear true and booty. That's all he wanted to hear. But bro, so we're asking.
True booty. True booty is a fire name.
True booty. You party with your kids with that name, bro?
No, I would not party with my kids nor with my parents. That is something that is done privately amongst adults, and we're showing our kids enough as it is. So when you do it, you implement her, I'm going to teach you how to party. That's a form of irresponsibility on my behalf.
Yeah, I disagree.
You know your kids party regardless. You know when they're in college, they party. When they're 21, they party. When they're 30, they party. You know, they party regardless. You're not taking a 15-year-old.
They're not kids. We're talking about, you say kids, I'm talking about 16 and under.
No,
well, they can't get in the club,
man. We're talking about your grown child that can go to the club.
My grown kid,
yes.
They 21, old enough to pay their own bills and drink. They not my kids.
They are still your child. They're still your kids, forever.
Bro. I get what you're saying.
In the club,
yeah, they not
grown enough to assume responsibility, go to jail on their own, pay their bills on their own, have kids.
Yeah, once
go out with them like another adult.
Yeah, once they get to a certain age, they're not your kids no more. They're your children.
Right. Yeah, they're my. Yeah, there you go. They're my children. They're not my kids. Kids, I was doing responsibility for. My children, I love, care for, and support.
I don't know. I still got kids. Regardless, I got. They're still gonna be my kids. I don't know. Anyway, hello. Who's this?
Hey, you're. What's up, Envy?
What's up, Trav? What's going on?
Trav. Me. What's up, Sean?
Peace, sis. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm calling to say that there's nothing wrong with that woman partying with her daughter. You know, I took my mama to the club with me and my friends. I took her right to the gay club, and she still talks about it to this day. You know, she had the time of her life,
I'm going to be honest with you. That's whack of you, Trav, to take your mama to the gay club. You know damn well your mama might have wanted to get some action, and you going to take her somewhere where she can't get none?
My mama is married and has been for 38 years.
Oh, my bad, my bad. I didn't know. My bad, Trav.
She's just having a good time.
Man.
Okay, well, you took her to the right place then. She had a good time.
Yeah, I invited my dad. And
he didn't want to go.
Like, what kind of club are going to? I was about to start laughing. He's like, yeah, you and your mama go have fun.
Oh, that's cute.
All right. Thanks, Trav. What's the moral of the story, guys?
I don't know. Is there a moral to the story?
To each his own. When Logan gets of age, I'm gonna take him out too, man. I'd rather them out with me. They can learn and you know how to move in and out, how to get around. I just rather them learn from me, and then you know they can take it from there on. That's just me. But all right, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, let's talk about Nicki Minaj. She describes why she declined to work with Doja Cat on the song "Get Into It."
All right, we'll get into that next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning,
the Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, if y'all remember, just last week, Chris Brown had called Kanye a ho-ho for leaving his verse off the album. And now it turns out that he actually shared what that unused verse was with his fans. He posted it and he said, "The verse course I mysteriously didn't do." And this is for the song New Again. Listen to this. Doing nothing to change it all. The minute I went home.
twist now with a best friend. Next thing I know, I'm in a group text. Now we have a group text. Am I not a English?
Kanye left a lot of good music off that Donda album.
Sure did.
But he still is on the background vocals of that song. All right, now, in the meantime, Diddy has praised both Drake and Kanye. He's not choosing a side, and he took time out of his vacation. He's in Capri, Italy, and here's what he had to say.
You guys are true kings of creativity. You guys are so special and so necessary, you know what I'm saying? And just thank y'all for the inspiration. I want to make sure what hip-hop knows is that's the reach and the power that we have, you know? Really want to take my hat off to these brothers both sharing their truths, you know what I'm saying? Love decrees that they both win, that we win, you know? And artists should keep pushing it to the limit.
Mr. Combs is correct, and I will add, Drake and Kanye should be working together. Like, stop all the pettiness and work together. Like, imagine a Kanye West album written by Drake, and imagine a Drake album executive produced by Kanye West. Like, Drake could write Kanye's whole life right now. And production-wise, I think Ye could bring something different out of Drake. They don't need each other at this point, but they could damn sure use each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad blood between them, though, so I don't know how or how they could resolve it. I know they had really conversations.
That bad, though? No, it's not that bad. We seen Jay and Nas fix their blood, and they could fix their blood. They could fix their blood. I agree with you. I mean, I would have loved to hear.
And I think also the Pusha T situation, I think he or Drake is never going to forgive that, too, and that's...
But Meek Mill and Drake went nasty
and
with
Gucci,
each other.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I'm saying it's a lot.
And Gucci and Jeezy did a verse. Gucci and Jeezy did a verses together. Okay?
I would love... I would love
anything is possible.
I would love to see... I would love to hear Kanye produce something for Drake. I think that would be dope. Yeah. Kanye's a genius when it comes to production. That's hands down.
When you think about the songs that Drake wrote for Ye off The Life of Pablo, which I think is, you know, Kanye's last... really great body of work. I think Drake wrote on Ultra Light Beam. He wrote on 30 Hours. It's another song on that album he wrote on as well. But yeah,
well, I just would like to see it. The Pretty Boys versus the Petty Boys. Which one are you?
Huh?
It's from his from Drake's album. Oh. The Pretty Boys versus the Petty Boys. All right, now Kanye, here's some more Kanye news. T-Pain was telling a story about Kanye telling him that he had a weak bar. And then he said he later on used the bar in his own song. Do you believe this is true? Listen to T-Pain's story.
I was showing Kanye my to be like, is this good rap? It said, I got beef like two burgers. You win slow and I'm smarter than Steve Urkel. I knew it was corny when I said it. Kanye confirmed it. He was like, don't ever say anything ever like that. And then one of his bars was, too many Urkels, that's why you win slow. And I was like, did this try to get me to not say my so he could say it?
It's actually Winslow is the bar.
All right, well, if you want to hear the song, here's a snippet of that Dark Fantasy song.
But what's worse, the pain or the hangover? Fresh air rolling down a window. Too many Urkels on your team, that's why you win slow.
I was listening to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy album this weekend. Drop on the Clues Bombs for that certified classic. One of the best albums ever, not just hip-hop album. Like, just one of the best albums in any musical genre. Production-wise, it don't get much better than My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
All right, and Nicki Minaj was talking to her fans on Twitter Space, and she explained why she did not collaborate with Doja Cat on the particular song, Get Into It. Yeah, here is what she had to say.
How do you feel about Get Into It by Doja Cat?
The truth is, she asked me to get on that song. It's not that I'm too busy. There were middle people involved in that situation. So I said, I had told her if it was like how me and Bia were direct and we had, you know, we dealt each with each other directly, it'd be different. But I didn't love that song because I didn't think I could bring anything to it. I think that was the second song they sent me, but I asked them to send me something else and they didn't send me anything else.
Now, that song that Doja Cat has also, she does shout out Nicki Minaj on it, and it is also a nod to the song Massive Attack, which Nicki Minaj has admitted that she's not a fan of that single. And here is a snippet of that song if you want to hear how she basically pays homage to Nicki.
If they ever trying to knock, put my foot up in your cock, call your mama and your papa like I'm finna take your dada, turn that into a soccer ball and rock a rock a rock a get into it like a suit and stock up like a rock.
All right. So,
who was that?
Yes. Doja Cat.
Oh, okay.
That's her song, Get Into It. I think that song has 70 million Spotify streams since it got released on June 25th.
Wow.
All right. Well, That is your rumor report. You saw that Nicki Minaj was and her husband Kenneth Petty were on a double date too with Rihanna and ASAP Rocky.
I seen that. Mm-hmm. And the baby. I seen the baby there too, right?
Mm-hmm. Little cute baby.
Why was the baby there?
Well, we don't know if they went on a date, if they just went chilling at the crib. We don't know what they were doing.
The baby didn't have a date?
No.
Baby. That's awkward.
What's wrong with you? Goodbye, man. All right. Oh, shout out to Revolt.
Oh, you mean a baby.
What you thought I was talking about?
I thought you said the baby.
Oh, my God.
That's literally what it sounded like.
Shout to Revolt.
Like Nicki and her husband and ASAP Rocky and Rihanna and the baby. I'm like, why was the baby just randomly there?
Oh, my goodness. All right. Shout out to Revolt. Revolt is off this week. A little vacation, so we'll see them back next week. All right? Everybody
the two
else.
People that work there.
Yeah, the two people that work there. Well, for our show. All right, and everybody else, yeah. The People's Choice mixes up.
Hey, somebody got to pay for Diddy's boat, goddammit. You see how big Diddy's yacht right was? Yep. All right, I ain't got time to pay all y'all people on Revolt when I got this big yacht to take care of now. Okay, right. Priorities, people.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, again, rest in peace to Michael K. Williams, who passed away over the weekend, over the long Labor Day weekend. Earlier today, we played a older interview that he did. I think it was, 2016 when he came up here?
Definitely 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got a chance to hear him, how he got his start and his inspirations and all that. So definitely rest in peace and condolences to his family.
Yes, again, that was really tragic and sad and completely unexpected. But so much love that we have for him while he was here with us and we'll continue to have for him and keep his legacy alive.
Absolutely. Definitely sending healing energy to his family, man.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we got the positive notice, the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, shout to everybody out I seen in Miami over the weekend. I've been out here planning the car show, of course, that I'm doing December 12th, which is just going to be a big family day, celebrity cars, exotic cars, bikes, trucks. We got so many surprises. There's going to be a Santa. There's going to be a carnival game. So if you haven't got your tickets, definitely get your tickets. And shout out to our station out here, 103.5 The Beat, Miami. Appreciate you guys, 33 and all them. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. First of all, I got to salute my soul sister, man, Debbie Brown. I love Debbie so much. Like, Debbie flew in to Jersey on Thursday night from L.A., and she stayed for 36 hours because she wanted to do energy healing and chakra alignment and prayer rituals and Karuna Reiki on my wife and I because God told her to. That's what she said. So I really appreciate, my soul sister Debbie Brown. And that leads me to my positive note, which is simply this. Healing is a choice. It's not an easy one because it takes work to turn around your habits. But keep making the choice and shifts will happen.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello! Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.